Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. I want you to picture the ultimate locked room mystery.
Oh, I love a good locked room mystery.
Right, because when we think about treating any condition that starts inside the human brain, we just naturally assume the medication has to travel directly into the brain tissue itself.
Yeah, which is incredibly difficult because your brain is... well, heavily guarded.
Exactly. It is surrounded by this microscopic fortress called the blood-brain barrier. Picture a network of blood vessels packed so tightly together, they act like a highly selective bouncer at an exclusive club.
That's a great analogy. I mean, it's incredibly effective at keeping toxins and pathogens out, but unfortunately, it keeps most medications out too.
And for psychiatrists and neuroscientists, this is a massive frustrating wall. It's one of the main reasons why treatments for devastating conditions like schizophrenia haven't fundamentally changed the disease course in over half a century.
We've basically spent decades trying to build better battering rams to breach that fortress. And it's notoriously expensive and difficult.
But the research we're looking at today for this deep dive, it flips that entire paradigm on its head. What if the key to the mystery isn't locked inside the fortress at all?
Right. Like, what really happens when we look completely outside the brain, into the circulating blood, for answers to a psychiatric condition?
It sounds like science fiction. I want you to think about your own immune system right now. Imagine the exact same white blood cells fighting off your seasonal cold, actually holding the remote control to how your brain wires and prunes itself.
It's a breakthrough, hiding in plain sight, entirely outside the central nervous system.
Today, we celebrate the work of the research team at Stanford University and the Palo Alto Veterans Healthcare System, who have advanced our understanding of the innate immune system's role in schizophrenia.
And to really grasp the magnitude of this shift, we need to ground ourselves in the clinical reality. Right now, schizophrenia lacks highly effective disease-modifying treatments.
I mean, we have drugs that manage some symptoms, like dampening auditory hallucinations.
But they don't stop the underlying disease process itself. They manage the fallout. They don't put out the fire.
Because researchers have been slamming their heads against this wall for so long, they've had to look for completely new angles.
Exactly. And one of the most compelling is something called the innate immune hypothesis.
Let's unpack that, because linking a brain disorder to the immune system sounds, well, counterintuitive.
It does, but the historical clues have been hiding in plain sight. Epidemiological data shows that severe early childhood infections, the kind that massively stimulate your innate immune system, significantly increase the risk of developing schizophrenia decades later.
Wait, really? Decades later?
Yeah. We see these strange spikes in schizophrenia rates following major flu epidemics, for instance.
Oh, wow.
And when you look at adults living with schizophrenia, their systemic immune markers, the chemical alarms of inflammation, are often chronically elevated in their blood.
Which brings us to a specific protein that's become a massive focal point in genomics. It's called C4.
Right. So C4 is a crucial player in what immunologists call the complement cascade. Imagine the innate immune system as this sprawling arrangement of dominoes.
Where one falling domino triggers the next, creating an amplifying cascade.
You got it. C4 is one of those early critical dominoes. And what we've discovered recently is that this specific C4 protein is consistently hyperactive in people with schizophrenia.
The genetics behind this are fascinating. It's not a random fluctuation. The blueprint itself is altered. People with schizophrenia often physically possess more copies of the C4A gene.
But you might be wondering, how does an immune domino cause a psychiatric disorder?
Right, how do we make that leap?
It comes down to synaptic pruning. When you transition from childhood through adolescence, your brain goes through a massive remodeling phase, like a gardener cutting away weak branches so the strong ones thrive.
Which is essential for a healthy adult brain.
Exactly. But the brain doesn't have its own separate tools for this. It borrows tools from the immune system. C4 acts as the tag that marks a neural connection for destruction.
Oh, I see. So having more copies of the C4A gene means the brain is flooded with this tagging protein.
The C4 goes into overdrive, tagging way too many synapses. Basically, the gardener trades their shears for a chainsaw.
That is a terrifying visual, but okay, we know the C4 protein is a major culprit. But as I was reading the background for this deep dive, there was a glaring contradiction.
Blood plasma data.
Yeah. When researchers previously looked at the blood plasma of patients with schizophrenia, they found high levels of the activated broken down pieces of C4.
But the rest of the dominoes in that plasma complement cascade were completely untouched.
Exactly. The unactivated resting C4 levels in the plasma were totally normal. It's the ultimate locked room scenario.
It completely defies the standard textbook model of immunology.
To use an analogy, it's like finding wet footprints in the middle of a locked house, but no broken windows. Where is this activated C4 coming from, if not the plasma itself?
Because usually, your liver manufactures these proteins and just dumps them into the blood plasma.
Right, so the researchers hypothesized something radical. What if immune cells are smuggling this active C4 directly into the bloodstream?
And that specific question formed the foundation of the methodology we're looking at today. They designed a two-part hunt.
Part one was the baseline search, right? Seeing if specific immune cells even have the capacity to manufacture and hold C4.
Exactly. They used fresh whole blood from anonymous healthy donors and cross-referenced that with massive, publicly available databases tracking gene expression.
Once they knew what to look for, part two was the clinical comparison. They took blood from 30 individuals diagnosed with schizophrenia and compared them against 38 healthy controls.
But this is where the science gets incredibly dense.
Yeah, the technology sounded like a sci-fi novel. How do you actually look inside a single microscopic cell to count genes and measure one specific protein?
It requires a highly precise stack of tools.
Mm.
First, they use digital droplet PCR, or ddPCR. It takes a sample, divides it into tens of thousands of microscopic droplets, and runs the reaction in each tiny droplet.
So it's hypersensitive.
Very. It allows them to count the exact number of C4a gene copies a specific patient has.
Okay, that maps the genetic blueprint. But how do they measure the actual protein hiding inside the cell?
For that, they combine flow cytometry with capillary Western blotting. In flow cytometry, you force blood cells to flow single file through a microscopic tube and shoot a laser at them.
And the way the light scatters tells you exactly what type of immune cell it is so you can sort them.
Exactly. Then the Western blotting breaks the cell open and separates the proteins by molecular weight, measuring the exact quantity of C4 inside.
That is mind-blowing. But it brings up a huge logistical question. The paper emphasizes they had to use fresh, same-day blood. Why couldn't they just use frozen vials from a biobank?
That hurdle is entirely tied to the cell they were hunting neutrophils. Neutrophils are the rapid response kamikaze pilots of your immune system.
Rushing to an infection and releasing chemicals, yeah, right?
And then they die very quickly. They are incredibly fragile. If you freeze a neutrophil, it spontaneously degrades and spills its internal contents.
Ah, so to accurately measure the delicate C4 protein trapped inside, you have to draw the blood and process it through those lasers on the exact same day.
It makes for a grueling, delicate experiment.
But that dedication paid off. Their first major discovery rewrites our understanding of where this protein lives. The muddy footprints belong to the neutrophils.
The C4 protein isn't just floating aimlessly in the fluid. It's heavily localized inside these fragile neutrophils and also inside monocytes.
They found the smugglers. But locating the C4 is just geography. The massive breakthrough was the relationship between genetics and the actual protein levels, right?
Right. They found a statistically significant positive correlation between the number of C4a gene copies a person had and the amount of C4 protein sitting inside their neutrophils.
Using a tool called Spearman's Rho, which came in at 0.63. Now, if we were talking about physics, a 0.63 correlation might seem loose.
But we're talking about human biology, which is inherently noisy. People sleep differently, eat differently.
Mm.
A 0.63 correlation here is a massive neon flashing arrow pointing to a direct mechanical relationship.
And crucially, that neon flashing arrow only existed in the patients diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Exactly. In the healthy control group, that tight relationship vanished.
So in the schizophrenia group, the genetic blueprint was directly driving the protein dynamics inside their white blood cells.
It proves the genetic risk isn't just dormant code. It's actively altering the immune machinery and the periphery of the body.
But wait, this raises a confusing data point I noticed in their exploratory analysis. If these patients have the genetics ordering their bodies to produce more C4, you'd expect their cells to be packed full of it.
You would, yeah.
But the data showed that overall, the schizophrenia patients actually had lower total amounts of neutrophil C4 compared to the healthy controls. How can the genetics press the gas pedal, but the protein levels are lower?
It's a brilliant paradox. Think of the neutrophil like a high-performance car engine, and the C4 protein is the fuel.
Okay, I'm tracking.
In a healthy person, the tank is full and the car is idling. But in a patient with schizophrenia, the genetics are pressing the gas pedal to the floor, constantly ordering more fuel.
Oh. But because the disease involves chronic immune activation, that fuel is being instantly combusted.
Exactly. It's being consumed and hyperactivated the moment it's produced.
So the total reserve looks low, not because they aren't making enough, but because the engine is burning through it rapidly. It's the aftermath of an engine constantly redlining.
You nailed it. The C4 is actively being deployed, doing damage. And they prove this cellular damage correlates with actual clinical symptoms.
Right. They use standardized measures like the perceived stress score, the PSS, and the PANSS, which measures the severity of schizophrenia.
Things like hallucinations, delusions, and emotional withdrawal. And the data was striking.
The more altered and depleted the C4 protein was inside a patient's neutrophils, the higher that patient scored on these clinical measures.
The biological chaos inside a microscopic white blood cell in their arm strongly predicted the severity of their psychopathology.
That completely blows my mind. Tracking complex psychiatric symptoms straight back to the metabolic burn rate of a protein in a white blood cell. What does this mean for our broader understanding of biology?
Well, biologically, it provides massive support for the intracellular complism.
The idea that immune cells have their own internal complement system.
Yes. For decades, the dogma was that these immune dominoes only existed outside of cells, floating freely in the plasma. This cements the reality that they manufacture and deploy weapons from within their own walls.
It forces us to rewrite the textbook. But pulling back to our hook, the blood-brain barrier. If neutrophils circulating the peripheral blood are the culprits carrying and activating this C4.
We might have just found a back door.
Wow. Because developing psychiatric drugs to slip past the blood-brain barrier is notoriously difficult.
But if a major driver of the pathology is happening right there in the bloodstream, inside these circulating neutrophils, the rules of engagement change.
We could potentially treat schizophrenia using medications that solely target the peripheral blood, completely bypassing the need to breach the blood-brain barrier.
That is the clinical holy grail of this research.
But I have to play devil's advocate here. Every single schizophrenia patient in this study was already taking antipsychotic medication.
That's true.
How do we know these systemic drugs aren't causing this immune shift rather than the schizophrenia itself?
It's a critical distinction and a completely valid limitation. The researchers were transparent about it, using robust statistical modeling to isolate the disease from the drugs.
Adjusting for covariates like BMI, age, and medication dose, right?
Exactly. And the math showed that even after smoothing out those drug-related variables, the strong correlation between the genetic C4 copies and the neutrophil protein dynamics held firm.
But statistical adjustments can only do so much. We know drugs like clozapine have a profound impact on the immune system. Clozapine patients even get regular blood tests because it can suppress their neutrophils.
You've hit the nail on the head. Statistical control is not biological isolation. Plus, because neutrophils are so fragile, the sample size for that specific data was small.
Just 15 patients with schizophrenia and 21 controls, right? So it's an incredibly loud signal, but from a very small room.
Yes. The absolute next step is to replicate this methodology in medication-naive patients, people experiencing their first episode of psychosis who have never taken antipsychotics.
If we find the same C4 consumption in their neutrophils, we'll know with absolute certainty we are watching the disease itself, not a side effect.
Exactly.
So, to distill this deep dive down, the C4 protein, a known genetic risk factor for excessive brain pruning and schizophrenia, is actively produced and consumed within circulating immune cells like neutrophils.
Which establishes a powerful, observable link between genetics and the peripheral immune system.
What does this mean for the future of psychiatric treatments if the key to saving the brain lies in the blood?
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Where it's been.